acts with a full cover of the waist.
Outside the world-famous Red Cross Children's Hospital here, Dr. Gilbert handed out roses in memory of Palestinian children massacred by Israel. While he's barred by the Zionist regime from saving lives in Gaza, he's trying to spread the message of resistance thousands of kilometers away at the tip of Africa. Hassan Sirip, Cape Town.
President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said his country will not allow the issue of Israel's nuclear weapons to be dropped from the global agenda, saying the European country's support to Israel is due to what he called the shame of the Holocaust. On the U.S. support of the regime, the Turkish president said that we are not surprised by the backing provided to Israel's lies by those who occupied Iraq on the pretext of nuclear and chemical weapons.
Israel openly admits and confesses to having nuclear weapons, but neither the United Nations Security Council nor the International Atomic Energy Agency launches an investigation. The nuclear weapons issue is not an ordinary issue on which one can just remain silent. Those who don't speak out against Israel today cannot criticize other countries in the future.
Earlier this week, Erdogan had said Israel must be tried at the ICC, vowing to use all available means to ensure that impartial punishment is delivered to the regime's crimes. Many accuse Erdogan of always condemning Israeli atrocities and giving warnings without taking any concrete actions against Tel Aviv. Turkey has not yet cancelled its gas deal with Israel and also hasn't closed its embassy in Tel Aviv. The majority of Turkish people want their government to fully cut ties with Israel. The nation criticizes Erdogan for threatening and condemning, while in reality, he maintains good political and economic relations with Israel. Rashan Saglam, Istanbul.
The ceremony has been held at the representative office of Hamas movement in Tehran to commemorate Ahmed Berh, the vice speaker of the Palestinian Legislative Council and a member of the Hamas movement, who was martyred during Israeli attacks in the Gaza Strip. The ceremony was attended by Hamas representative in Tehran, Khaled Qaddoumi. A number of Iranian military and state officials, including members of the Iranian parliament, were also present at the ceremony.
The martyr, Sayyid Ahmed Bahar, he's an iconic struggling figure in Palestine, and he is a statue at the level of the importance of Palestinian issue. He was one of the brothers and fellows of Sheikh Ahmed Yassin, the founder of the Hamas movement, and he used to be a straightforward, a state man, and he is a transparent fellow when he is to address the Palestinian issue. He used always to address it in a very solid, bold, and straightforward fellow.
Martyr Ahmed Bahr was a great personality who stood against the Israeli aggressions until his last moment of life and did not flee his homeland. What Israel has done in the occupied lands has proved to the world that it is an aggressive regime which is just killing children and women in order to protect itself. But we warn Israel that we will sue the case at international courts and will bring the main perpetrators to justice. With all these ongoing Israeli atrocities, Israel will definitely be the main loser of the war and will collapse.
Since October 7th, Israel has bombed much of Gaza to rubble, ordered the depopulation of the entire northern half of the strip, and made around two-thirds of Gazans homeless. The UN Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs said Israeli attacks had destroyed or damaged at least 45% of Gaza's housing units.
The resistance of Palestinians, especially resistance forces against the Israeli occupying regime, was a big slap in the face of the Zionist regime. The brutalities of the Israeli forces show that they have no other option but to kill children and women because they cannot stand against resistance forces. This is the beginning of the collapse of the Zionist regime, and because of its atrocities in the Gaza Strip, this regime has been hated and detested by world people more than ever before.
International officials say a humanitarian crisis for the 2.3 million residents of Gaza is entering a new, more dire phase as the Israeli war continues. Palestinian Resistance Front says despite all Israeli atrocities in the occupied lands, resistance will continue until the full liberation of Palestine from the clutches of the Israeli regime. Saman Kujuri, Tehran.
Yemen's Navy forces capturing an Israeli-linked ship in the Red Sea. The operation is the first of its kind. Yemen's military spokesperson confirmed the operation is part of a military effort to end the Israeli regime's genocide in Palestine.
We, the armed forces, renew our warning to all ships belonging to the Israeli enemy or any ships associated with them. You will become a fair target for us. All nations need to take steps to ensure their nationals who work in the Red Sea abstain from any work with Israeli ships or any ships associated with Israeli businessmen. Yemen's armed forces reaffirmed their commitment to continuing to target the Israeli enemy until the aggression and the gruesome atrocities committed in Gaza come to an end.
The capturing of the Israeli-linked ship was the first official military operation by Yemen's naval forces in the Red Sea near Bab el-Mandeb. Bab el-Mandeb is a strategic international shipping lane that makes up almost 90% of Israel's imports and exports traded in the global market. Yemeni officials have praised the seizing of the ship.
I would like to congratulate our Navy forces for their accomplishment in capturing the Israeli ship. This was not a small operation. This operation will certainly boost the morale of the fighters in Gaza.
Israeli military officials have stated they have plans to attack Yemen following weeks of Yemeni drones and ballistic missile attacks, which targeted the heart of the Israeli regime. Well, the White House has responded to Ansar Allah's capture of the Israeli vessel, calling for the immediate release of the ship and all of its crew. However, the leader of Yemen's revolution, Sayyid Abdel Malik al-Houthi, stated in his latest speech that Yemen is not a nation that takes its orders from the U.S. Yusuf Mawdi, Sana'a.
On Monday, the Italian capital hosted a sit-in to commemorate the children who have been killed in Gaza after 7 weeks of unrelentless Israeli bombardments. More than 5,600 minors have died as a result of the ongoing ruthless Israel's military assault. The death toll has surpassed 13,300 so far, including over 3,500 women, with 30,000 more people wounded, according to the Hamas-run health ministry in the Gaza Strip. The Rome sit-in took place on World's Children's Day, with the participants calling for an end to the war in Gaza, where children's rights are being violated daily.
The West is with Israel. That's why nobody says anything about the slaughter of children. It's unbelievable. Hospitals and houses are bombarded, and nobody does anything.
Italy has commercial and military agreements in place with Israel, and that's why we don't do anything. Zionism is racism. As a result, Palestinian kids are being considered second-class victims.
The sit-in held in Rome was dubbed Our Shameful Charter on the Rights of the Child, referring to a United Nations convention first issued in 1924 and successively reviewed to protect children's rights worldwide. According to the United Nations Declaration on the Rights of the Child, all children shall be protected against all forms of cruelty. However, a growing number of people in the international community believe that the bodies that are established to protect such rights, like, for instance, the International Criminal Court, have a selective and biased approach to the implementation of international law.
Killing children means killing hope to live in a peaceful and secure world. There are hundreds of UN resolutions and international right norms that Israel has never, ever observed.
During the sit-in, people brandished placards and banners reading "Our martyrs are not just numbers" and "Under Gaza's rubbles, the West has buried its humanity." No Italian politicians nor mainstream media reporters attended the initiative. Max Civili, Rome.
Palestine will be free. Thousands of Pakistanis took to the streets in a solidarity march, fervently expressing their condemnation of the Israeli atrocities against the Palestinian people in Gaza.
It's not the silence from the world, it's only silence from our governors, our rulers. The people are here everywhere in all over the world. So the people are with the Palestine, with the Palestinians.
Down, down, occupation!
There were chants of solidarity as passionate individuals from all walks of life gathered to voice their concerns for Palestinian lives and express support for their rights.
As a mother and as a countrywoman, I am very much upset by seeing all this. I can't sleep. It's very painful. It is a genocide and it should be stopped.
Reacting to the continuing Israeli actions in Gaza, Pakistanis expressed support for Palestinians, not just through marches, but also through aid and financial assistance. Aid agencies are calling for urgent action and support, and also demanding the immediate opening of the Rafah border crossing. Humanitarian groups have been sounding the alarm, predicting a potential deterioration of the crisis in Gaza.
The Rafah border should be immediately open, and the aid should be delivered immediately to the people of Gaza. So far, very little aid is gone. 1,000 containers is the daily requirement at Gaza. More than a million people have dislocated from their homes. There is a very big humanitarian crisis. Food is required, tent is required, blanket is required, medicine is required.
Meanwhile, citizens across Pakistan are stepping up their commitment to the boycott campaign against pro-Israeli businesses. The movement has garnered widespread support and engagement.
By participating in marches of solidarity and extending aid to those affected, Pakistanis are vehemently denouncing what they see as war crimes committed by Israeli forces in Gaza and sending a strong message of empathy and support for the people of Palestine. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is under mounting pressure as protests against the Israeli onslaught of the besieged Gaza Strip enter a sixth week. Demonstrators underline that it's not just the U.S. president and Israeli prime minister behind the killings of thousands of people in Gaza, saying that their government is also complicit in Israel's atrocities.
We're seeing an intensification of our people's struggle. Zionism is falling in front of our eyes. People are refusing to believe Zionist lies about the Palestinian people, about Gaza. Our numbers are growing every single week. We are seeing people all across the world take up more intense forms of direct action, refusing to be quiet, even though 6 weeks in, the Canadian government and Western governments have not called for a ceasefire, continue to send weapons to the Zionist state.
The International Center of Justice for Palestinians has announced its intention to seek the prosecution of four Canadian officials, including the Prime Minister. The organization says it will pursue all appropriate courses of action to hold them accountable before the International Criminal Court for supporting the Israeli regime.
So this case is part of a larger international collaboration to bring charges for aiding and abetting against Canadian officials who have been complicit with Israeli war crimes. All of them in their own way have been either acting or failing to act in a way that is benefiting the Israeli armed forces with great intentionality. And what we see right now is we see a situation where arms are still being shipped from Canada to Israel while it's carrying out war crimes. We see money being misappropriated from so-called charitable organizations here and being sent over to assist the occupation forces. We also see the government here failing to do anything at all to stop recruitment for the Israeli military, which is also happening right now.
Activists are calling for an immediate ceasefire in the Palestinian territory to prevent further loss of life and say that Ottawa must cancel all arms export permits to Israel and require the regime to fully comply with international law.
So we refuse for our Canadian leadership, the members that we elected, to be complicit in the ethnic cleansing of the Palestinians. We demand that it imposes an arms embargo on Israel and that it holds it accountable to the numerous international law violations and war crimes that it has committed, not only the past 42 days, but for the past 75 years of occupation.
If the politicians and the media will not listen to us, then we will make it impossible for them to ignore us. We will not allow for business to go on as usual while a genocide takes place against our people in Gaza.
These mass protests demonstrate that people here and around the world no longer believe Israel's propaganda as people from across the country prepare for next week's national march on Ottawa. Camila Escalante, Toronto.
This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio. With you every single moment.
Supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all. From the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord and Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee, and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O the Most Merciful.
Sound from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
The knockout. That is how Iran's leader described what Hamas has done to the Israeli regime. Now that a temporary humanitarian pause has been announced, Israeli failures in its war in Gaza are becoming more prominent, like how it has killed so many civilians, and how it was not able to achieve its stated goal, the eradication of Hamas. In this edition of The Spotlight, we will look at the different ways that Israel has been defeated in this war so far, from the loss of the regime forces to their military equipment, and how the U.S. is also complicit in this war and is considered to have lost this battle against a group of resistance fighters. Let's find out what our guest thinks. Let me introduce them. Elijah Magner, journalist and political analyst, joins us from Brussels. Also joining us is Ismail Patel, chairperson of Friends of Al-Aqsa, joins us from London. Welcome to you both. Elijah Magner, first over to you. So we have this temporary ceasefire pause. The regime has not achieved the goals that it has stated. And basically, from what we're looking at, it was forced to submit to the resistance terms, at this point releasing 150 Palestinian women and children. This has been cited to be a grand failure by Israel in terms of what has occurred. What are your views?
Thank you for having me. By saying that Israel has the intention to destroy Hamas and put an end to it, and then after 48 days engage into a negotiation indirectly with Hamas again to release all the captives and the Palestinian prisoners, it indicates that Israel recognizes the power of the resistance in Gaza and understand that all the initial objective to destroy Hamas and release all the captives by the meaning of force and military attack on Gaza is impossible to achieve. So we see how the Israelis, with all their wars against Lebanon or against the Palestinians throughout the decades, they have never managed to achieve the declared objectives from the first beginning of any military aggression or military operation. For that reason, we see today the Israelis understanding that in 48 days they have not managed to release one prisoner or one military personnel that was captive by Hamas or one civilians, and that they have to sit around the table and negotiate. Moreover, what turned the table against the Israelis is the attack of the Palestinian resistance inside Gaza from zero distance or from tens of meters. And it is every single day not only engaging with the Israeli occupation forces inside Gaza, but continuing to launch missiles against all the Israeli cities and villages. This is a great failure for Benjamin Netanyahu's government and even his small government that he thought by bringing Benny Gantz and the defense minister they could achieve something.
Okay, well, some great points there made. Ismail Patel, I'm trying to understand how it is that Israel has reached this humanitarian pause or truce, but at the same time, they are still bombing. We understand in the Jabalia area, bombs have still dropped. We understand that the Al-Shifa Hospital, they are still there, and there are crimes that are being committed in that respect in the Gaza Strip just before this truce is going to come into effect. Isn't Israel digging its own grave by conducting itself that way?
In a way, I suppose the truce itself exposes, if you use your metaphor, digging its own grave, because for Israel to have been successful in carrying out the atrocities on the Palestinians, it has also waged wars around the world. And what I mean by that is there's been a war on international law, there's a war on UN resolutions, a war on Geneva Conventions, and a war on humanity itself. And these little wars that are being fought around the world to undermine are the ones that are being exposed by the international community. And that is what made it so difficult for Israel to carry on with its unfolding genocide of Gaza. The duplicity, the hypocrisy of the West and its allies are now being exposed because of Israel's continuing relentless bombing of the people of Gaza. And the pause itself, I think what Israel will try and do is will try and capitalize to the very last minute. First and foremost is try and carry out as many killings as possible, hold their ground. And then, as they've already mentioned, that they will not allow the people who've moved from the north, who've now gone to the south, go back to their homes. So in effect, there is a possibility in the 4 days pause that we are getting that Israel might actually consolidate its position in that southern region of Gaza. So there is a concern there as well. But we shouldn't be fooled that this pause has come about because of the loss of international standing by Israel and the loss by its supporters in the West itself, who are now being more and more exposed to the hypocrisy and the duplicity.
Okay, well, let's talk about the international standing, since our guest there has mentioned that, Elijah Magnier. I mean, that has been a rather big factor when it comes to the genocide that was taking place, if you agree, in terms of not only the numbers of people that came out, the frequency that that happened, and to the degree that it happened in terms of the masses, the impact also on politicians of different countries, how some who may have had a positive view of Israel then turned against that. And then also taking a look at the fact that the standing itself was on rocky grounds, and now it has lost any legitimacy when it comes to the diplomatic aspect of it. We know that, I forget, it was 9 or 12 countries that have recalled their ambassadors, and up to 3 now that have cut diplomatic relations. So what is left of Israel on the international stage then?
Well, in my opinion, at the first beginning, when Israel started the attack on Gaza, it has informed the international community, including and above all the United States and its European allies, and that is the same Western club, that there are going to be casualties, there are going to be heavy civilian casualties, and they all agreed, regardless of the international law and the accusation of war crime that Israel is going to be accused of. And this matter of Geneva Convention, international law, war crime and crimes against humanity matter very little to Israel and its allies, because we've seen that with the Americans in Afghanistan, in Iraq, in Syria, and in all Israeli previous wars, and Israel and all the rest of the Western club have never been accountable for all their actions. So what mattered the most is the time frame that Israel was given to end the occupation of Gaza. And the plan that the Israelis went forward with, dividing the north from the south and trying to occupy the north, failed to achieve these objectives after 48 days of fighting. And today they are still not in control of half of the north. Even we're talking about very small area of Gaza, and the failure of the Israeli army occupation forces to achieve its objectives forced the United States to look after its own elections that are forthcoming in the U.S. and all the rest of European nations to be confronted with a daily double standard and hypocrisy, like Josep Borrell, who suddenly he is saying he's not a lawyer when he's asked if Israel is committing war crime, but he became immediately a lawyer when he's asked if Hamas has committed a war crime. So this obvious double standard is today no longer a news that is shocking anybody. On the contrary, we've seen that in Ukraine, and we're seeing that today in Gaza. So I think, yes, social media put pressure. The axis of the resistance opening different fronts put pressure on the Americans, on the Israelis, and this is why the widening front on several multi-fronts, this is something that the Americans and the Israelis wanted to avoid, because the outcome was no longer sure, and the failure of Israel was very obvious.
This is The Spotlight. The Spotlight takes an in-depth look at the headlines, featuring interviews with well-known guests from diverse backgrounds to get to the bottom of the story. You can listen to The Spotlight every day on IRIB English Radio.
Well, reflecting on the masses that turned out, Ismail Patel, I think that another defeat that Israel suffered, and this is to a very wide degree, is what happened on social media and how people came out and spoke against Israel, but also spoke for Palestine in the form and manner that they did. There were some who did not even know the depth of the conflict, and they got educated through social media. And there's so many things that came out of that, such as this one entry that is stuck in my mind, and seeing you, for some reason, it has not come for me to mention this to you. Where here it says, young Americans are picking up the Quran to understand the resilience of Muslim Palestinians. So you can see that these are not the types of things that you would expect to maybe have come out, but that's where Israel has also lost. Tell us your thoughts on that.
Well, I'll just give you an anecdote. Our last demonstration we had in London, where there was nearly a million people, I was just talking to a few people, and I spoke to a lady who came out for the first time, and she looked a little bit of sort of out of place. So I went up to her and asked her what she was doing there. And she told me that, you know, this is the first time I've come to a demonstration in my life. And she was quite elderly, older than myself. And she said, the reason I came out is because I was seeing our politicians saying these are hate marches, and there was so much atrocities on the television that I was seeing, and I couldn't match the two in my head. So I had to come and see it for myself. So you're very, very right that people are wanting to find out for themselves, and they're no longer one listening to their own politicians in Britain, in the case of Britain, or the mainstream media. So they're going to the social media. And in a way that Israel is losing the social media war. The fact that a billionaire, pro-Israeli billionaire in America has started a site called Facts for Peace, as the euphemism goes here, and he's collecting something like $50 million to fight what he's calling the PR war. So that is an indication of how far Israel is lagging behind on this. But this is also something very important for us to find, to sort of mention, that this pause is actually coming at a time when America is going to be going on a five-day holiday of its own Thanksgiving, and a lot of people will be watching the television. And it is very telling that in America, what's happening now is that pro-Israeli adverts are now going to be playing on television screens, again, to play on the media and to see if they can change the minds of the public. But that may be said, we should also remind ourselves that America and Britain and maybe a few countries in Europe do not constitute the world. The world is much a bigger place. And if you look around the world, I mean, I've had news from countries like Malawi, Fiji, Trinidad, Barbados. These are small, minor countries who are having demonstrations. Tens of thousands of people are coming out on the streets in support of Palestine. And these people had never before heard of Palestine or have never done anything for Palestine. because but they understand the colonialist nature of Israel, the oppression that is being taking place on the people of Gaza, and they want to have their say, and they want to change that dynamics. So yes, the price is very high price being paid by people in Gaza, but that price is also bringing the world society out and community to in defense of the people of Palestine against Israel, an apartheid colonial Israel.
Well, we have heard both of you talk about the U.S. in one form or another, and the war, also Elijah Magnier, and the pause that has occurred is also seen as a sign of the U.S. failure here in two respects. One, the fact that they were providing weapons and artillery on a daily basis. We're looking at things such as precision-guided missiles, small-diameter bombs, 155-millimeter artillery shells, other munitions, and some of these other munitions are some that was not heard of which there's pictures of what I'm looking at, where it would basically do something similar to the white phosphorus bombs. So if you add to the fact that the U.S. is said to be complicit in the execution of the plans, because Joe Biden was in the war room, remember when the war was happening. He didn't accept a ceasefire weeks ago, but he's now saying, this is the best news, and it's warmly receiving this ceasefire or humanitarian pause. What do you think of the way that now the U.S. is looking when it comes to this pause?
Generally speaking, in every war, the Americans are the one who supply weapons and money for Israel, because it is not possible to go to war without a supply of ammunition, a consistent supply of ammunition. We've seen that in the 2006 war. We've seen that also in 2014, the Israeli war on Gaza, and so on. Secondly, there is a huge economic hit on Israel from the very beginning of this war, where on the first day, Israel has lost $13 billion. This is why the Americans rushed to supply Israel with $14.5 billion. And all the other ammunition. Moreover, from day one, Biden is the one who stated the objectives of Israel in this war. And he said, we're not going to achieve a ceasefire unless Hamas is defeated. That was repeated by the British and the German and the French, all visitors who went to Israel to support it in its war against mainly the civilians, because we haven't seen them killing any of the Hamas militant in the last 48 days. So it is not an Israeli war. The Americans sent 2,000 Delta forces to Tel Aviv. They've sent special forces. They sent their carriers to the Middle East, and they were fully engaged, headed by a general, an American general, who fought in Fallujah and has experience in the war in Iraq. Therefore, we understand that the American was the first partner in this war and was trying to achieve some victory that America failed to achieve against the Russian in Ukraine. So it is not only a complicity of the Americans in this war, it's a first-hand participation, full support of intelligence, of troops, and above all, the Americans told us that they also have their drones above Gaza. So the participation of the Americans was on full scale, and they are, and they were, and they still are today, hand in hand with the Israelis, with all the responsibility of massacring 5,800 civilians, children, and 3,900 women, and as a total, over 14,000 that have been killed in Gaza, with the responsibility of the Americans and the Israelis.
All right. We know that this is going to be a 40-day pause, and there are some chances given that this may actually extend. What is your reading into how this will transpire? Do you think, Ismail, that after the 4-day pause, we're going to see this extended and maybe eventually for it to lead to a stop completely or not?
Well, that is our hope. The pause itself is just the beginning, and obviously it's not the end. And we hope that there's not only a ceasefire, but the end up to siege and occupation. And that's the final sort of our ambition and our hope for the people in the region. But unfortunately, Israel's track record does not hold well and particularly with America and Britain supporting it to the tilt unquestionably. And that, I suppose, bodes pretty sad for us, that it is possible that the pause might be used by Israel as a means to regalvanize and target what is necessary and carry on with its sort of unfolding genocide of the people of Gaza. But also it could create a political rift within Israel, and there's something that is something we need to watch, what happens to Netanyahu with internal politics, whether the other political parties and the Israeli public say that they need to get rid of Netanyahu and create a political crisis within Israel. If that is possible, if that emerges, then we may see a prolonging of the ceasefire. But then the chances are we might get a more right-wing government in Israel, and things might get worse even, because it depends on what elections and what the promises are made. And whenever there is an election in Israel, the price is paid by the Palestinians, because whoever's coming in has to be seen as if they're stronger, more draconian than the previous leader. So yes, the pause is welcome, and particularly for the hungry and the dying and the much needed medication and fuel and oil that is required. But it also leaves a lot of unknowns. And I think it would be foolhardy to celebrate this, but to move cautiously. And whatever we can do is try and prolong this pause into a ceasefire and hopefully an end to siege.
This particular fact, I wanted to, I dismissed it as not being as important to discuss in our program tonight, Elijah Magnier. But I feel like maybe it is something that needs to be discussed because of the fact that there have been previous wars. And it's about how many headlines have read how Israel has battlefield tested weapons. And this war is no exception, where it's said that through each war, there are certain weapons that are being tested. It refers to the Palestinians as guinea pigs. It refers to the war theater as a laboratory, and it talks about surgical killing machines. One of the things that it talks about, I'm sorry for me to sound graphic here, it refers to what's called an Israeli spike drone rocket, where it can be modified, where overall it basically punctures, metal and causes tissue to be torn from the flesh. Just one of many examples. And why am I bringing this up? Because the arms industries not only pick up on this, but arms sales go up to buy products, military equipment from Israel. I thought maybe it's just for this war, but it happens in every war, as if this is one of the goals. And this is something that goes under the radar, so to speak. It just puts a different angle to this whole war, doesn't it?
Indeed. In every single war, there is always an element of lesson to be drawn from the war, testing weapons and checking if all the plans were all well and what every army needs to learn from it. So today we don't have only the Israelis, but we have everybody looking at what's happening in Gaza and looking at the behavior of the resistance and the behavior of the Israeli army. Now, the Israeli occupation forces have, of course, the advantage of using all the latest technology and all the most modern weapons that given delivered okay. by the Americans. And because of that, it is important sure. to watch carefully and learn what's happening.
Thank you very much for that. Appreciate it, Elijah Magnier, journalist and political analyst. Thank you, Ismail Patel, chairperson of the Friends of Al-Aqsa. Thank you to you both. With that, we come to an end for this edition of World News. Thanks so much for being with us. Until another program, from Miko Batawe and the team, it's goodbye.
From east to west, throughout the vast land of Iran, you're listening to IRIB English Radio. In the limelight.
Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas and the Israeli regime have agreed to a temporary ceasefire deal. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas has said it has provided a response to Qatar and Egypt concerning the potential of a ceasefire between the Gaza Strip-based Palestinian Resistance Movement and the Israeli regime, which has brought Gaza under an unrelenting war. In a statement on Tuesday, 21st of November, Hamas's Arab and Islamic Relations Office said it had provided Qatari and Egyptian officials with a response a day earlier. Talks concerning a potential ceasefire have been going on under Qatar and Egypt's supervision for a month now, the statement read. The Israeli enemy, however, keeps procrastinating, the statement noted, adding that whenever we got close to temporary ceasefire, the enemy went back to square one. Also on Tuesday, 21st of November, senior Hamas official Ezzat al-Rishq told Al Jazeera television that the details of the deal would be released by Qatar and Egypt in the coming hours. Ezzat al-Rishq emphasized that any agreement was necessarily based on the conditions of the Palestinian resistance. Ezzat al-Rishq further confirmed that Israel, especially the regime's prime minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, had been obstructing the ceasefire talks. More than 14,000 Palestinians have been killed in the brutal Israeli war against Gaza since 7th of October, when the Israeli regime launched its deadly military campaign in response to a resistance operation on the same day. The Hamas statement also strongly refuted the Israeli regime's claim that the movement ran a command center underneath the Al-Shifa Hospital in Gaza City, which has taken the brunt of the Israeli regime's assault on the territory's healthcare system. The Hamas statement said the enemy claims about the existence of Hamas tunnels underneath the hospital is a farce that no one believes in. Meanwhile, Iranian President Ebrahim Raisi has told leaders of the BRICS group of emerging economies that members of the organization should designate Israel a terrorist entity because of the extensive crimes that it has committed in Gaza over the past few weeks. It is necessary that this fake regime be recognized as a terrorist regime and its army be regarded as a terrorist organization, President Ebrahim Raisi stressed. The plea was part of a 7 proposals submitted by the Iranian president to a virtual BRICS summit held at the organization's headquarters in South Africa on Tuesday, 21st of November. The BRICS summit was convened at Iran's request to discuss the ongoing conflict in Palestine, where the Israeli regime has killed more than 13,000 people in Gaza as part of a relentless war to confront resistance fighters in the territory. In his address to the meeting, President Ebrahim Raisi said BRICS members should unite their efforts to break an Israeli siege on Gaza and facilitate safe delivery of humanitarian aid to the territory where more than 2.3 million Palestinians are in a dire humanitarian situation. President Raisi also said BRICS members should help set up an inquiry into Israel's use of banned weapons in Gaza, including its use of white phosphorus bombs against the civilian population of the territory. President Ebrahim Raisi further called on members of the bloc to recognize the right of the Palestinian nation to self-defense against Israeli aggression, as well as the Palestinian struggle to liberate its lands occupied by Israel for decades. Also, South African legislators have voted in favor of closing Israel's embassy in South Africa, expressing their solidarity with Palestinians in the besieged Gaza Strip, which has been under a brutal Israeli assault. South African lawmakers passed a motion to shut down the Israeli regime's diplomatic mission in Pretoria with 248 votes in favour and 91 votes against on Tuesday, 21st of November. This was the culmination of weeks of criticism by South African President Cyril Ramaphosa of Israel's genocidal war against Palestinians in Gaza. The Al Jazeera television network has also covered this story and tells us more. The Israeli regime and the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas have agreed to a temporary ceasefire deal that will enable the release of about 50 people who have been held captive in Gaza by Hamas since 7th of October in exchange for 150 Palestinians held in Israeli prisons. The Israeli cabinet backed the agreement after talks on a Qatari-mediated deal that continued into the early hours of Wednesday morning, 22nd of November, with Israeli media reporting heated exchanges between members of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government. In the end, only 3 of the 38 members of the cabinet voted against the truce. Israel's National Security Minister Itamar Ben-Gvir and 2 other extremist members of Netanyahu's cabinet voted against the deal. The Prime Minister's office said the deal would require Hamas to release at least 50 women and children during a 4-day truce. For every additional 10 hostages released, the pause will be extended by 1 day, it said, without mentioning the release of Palestinian prisoners in exchange. Israel's government is committed to returning all the hostages home, the statement said. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas, which is based in Gaza, also released a statement confirming that 50 women and children held in the territory would be freed in exchange for Israel releasing 150 Palestinian women and children from Israeli prisons. It said that Israel would also stop all military actions in Gaza and that hundreds of trucks carrying humanitarian, medical and fuel supplies and aid would be allowed into the territory. The accord is the first truce of a war in which the Israeli regime has flattened vast swathes of Gaza, which is home to about 2.3 million Palestinians. Palestinian officials say at least 14,100 people have been killed, while the United Nations says about 1.7 million Palestinians have been forced from their homes. The American newspaper The Daily Beast has also covered this same story. Israel's cabinet voted to approve a deal for the release of around 50 captives held by Hamas in exchange for a 4-day pause in fighting, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu confirmed on Tuesday, 21st of November. The release of around 150 imprisoned Palestinians is also expected to be part of the deal, according to multiple reports from Israeli news organizations Haaretz and Kan, the national broadcaster, but went unmentioned by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Israel's Channel 12 News reported the first release of hostages is set for Thursday, so long as the Israeli Supreme Court does not move to block the deal. Also about 308 trucks per day would be allowed to enter Gaza Strip during the pause in the fighting. In a statement released on Telegram, the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement Hamas confirmed a truce agreement based on our responsibility towards our patient Palestinian people and to provide relief and heal their wounds. The breakthrough was confirmed after both the Israeli regime and the Hamas movement indicated earlier on Tuesday that a truce may finally materialize 6 weeks into the conflict. In its statement, the Palestinian resistance movement Hamas called the talks difficult and complex.
blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames. And nothing remains, just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike, murdered and massacred night after night. While the so-called leaders of countries afar debated on who's wrong or right. But their powerless words were in vain, and the bombs fell down like acid rain. But through the tears and the blood and the pain, you could still hear that voice through the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Tonight, a blinding flash of white light lit up the sky over Gaza tonight. People running for cover, not knowing whether they're dead or alive. They came with their tanks and their planes, with ravaging fiery flames. Nothing remains, just a voice rising up in the smoky haze. We will not go down in the night without a fight. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down Gaza tonight.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Your headlines for this hour: Israel frees 39 Palestinian prisoners, all women and children, in exchange for 24 captives held by Hamas as part of a temporary ceasefire in Gaza. The Hamas leader says Palestinian resistance forces forced Israel into accepting the group's terms for a ceasefire agreement. And members of the Iranian besieged forces hold nationwide rallies in support of Palestinians in Gaza.